Just a little intro before we get going with today's episode. We're going to be talking with Steve Childs. He's a former Marine, wonderful guy. But I want to give you a little bit of a heads up because at first it might be hard to understand him. He's had a procedure called a laryngectomy, so he can't talk normally. He has a thing called an electric wand that he holds up to his throat so that he can speak, and we have to listen very closely and really give him some grace, give it a little time and a little effort to listen closely. It'll be worth it because he just has a beautiful story. All right, let's jump on into it.
From the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart had stopped, and I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody, and welcome to 2025, and welcome to our fourth season of Round Trip Death, and lastly, and bestly, welcome to our special guest today, Steve Childs. How are you, Steve?
Hanging in there.
Good. I know people are going to be able to understand you even better the more that they listen, and that it's going to be worth listening to, because you have a beautiful story. And before we hop into your near-death experience, Steve, would you just tell us a little bit about yourself so we can get to know you?
Well, I was born in 1956 in Northwest Louisiana. I graduated in 11th grade, joined the Marine Corps, got out in 1976, and was just a pretty normal guy. I was in avionics in the military, so I stayed with industrial control my whole life.
Where do you live, Steve?
I currently live in Missouri, Oakland, Missouri.
So I don't know if our listeners are going to want to hear about what happened to your voice first or your NDE. They're actually not related, believe it or not. Give us a brief, just because I know everyone's going to be curious, and I hope you don't mind talking about your medical history just a little bit, but
not at all.
What happened to your voice?
Smoking cigarettes. I was diagnosed with laryngeal cancer and had to have my voice box removed. And so now I sound like a robot.
And what do you call that thing that you hold up to your throat?
They call it an electric wand.
Well, it works well. Did it take a lot of practice to learn how to use?
Well, not really. You'll find out there's things that are very important. Breathing and communicating.
I'm thinking breathing comes first.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's go back and let's talk NDEs today. We're going to go back to 2009. What was going on with your health that led up to the big heart attack that day?
Well, actually, I had a series of pains. One of them was a very severe night. And my wife, she said, "Oh, you're probably just having a heart attack here. Take these aspirin." Believe it or not, that's what saved me. Aspirin dilates the pain. I had a few more of them over the course of about a week. And I had some friends that encouraged me to go to the doctor. They said I was looking real male. And so I took their advice, went over to the VA, and I kept failing a series of tests until it got to the endoscopy. And that's the one where they take the finger of your heart internally, and they were amazed that I was still alive. I only had 10% of one artery open,
keep going. So what procedure did they do to find out about your heart?
Well, I was scheduled eventually for the gastrostomy, and I didn't make it that day because I was in business with myself, and it was a big job that day. Well, the next day, as I was heading to another job, my son was driving. My dashboard was cluttered with paperwork and barely a little corner. The PA appointment paper told me, and I noticed we were the red light right in front of him, so I noted him the bullet, and I wasn't going to reschedule it in person. He then just called him like he always do. I said, well, I've been missing too many. Let me go in person. It will take but a minute. So I told him to pull around to the emergency room, and he did. I ran in, went into the bed blower. I went to the department and showed him the letter and told him that I was sorry that I had missed it again and that I wanted to reschedule. They told me that it wasn't a problem because somebody had canceled that day and they could take me right now. And so I changed. They wheeled me up and they inserted the camera in my leg under my heart. And when they took a picture, they went into panic mode and noticed that Houston, Texas, the big surgeon down there immediately was alarmed. And so, in order to get cleared for a major operation at the VA, it has to be approved through Washington. That took 3 days. I spent the 3 days making coffee for the founders, visiting everybody when they would come in the morning. And then they took me by ambulance down to Houston. They told me that there was only a 5-10% chance something could go wrong. I still felt healthy. I felt good. Well, the morning of the surgery, they came and picked me up at 6 in the morning. We were one of the first ones. Major operation for the day. They took me in. It's a scary situation because I had never been through anything like this. I'd always been real healthy. When they are recording you for legal purposes, they asked me, did I know who I was and all that. And I remember telling them, like a drill sergeant, is everybody on Dr. Game? And they all answered in unison, yes, sir. And it gave me a number. Well, the first thing I heard was Dr. G in my right ear. And he was telling the other surgeon that it was worse than he thought. He would move to grab lower. My anesthesiologist was only 30 years old, so he was very young, but a great kid. I knew he was trying his best. Everything went okay in the first surgery, and they wheeled me out. They were telling my family everything was okay. I even gave my son a thumbs up, and then they took me to ICU. As I recovered, something went wrong, and I could tell by the doctors constantly there, constantly whispering. They kept changing something out. It was blood bang. I was using blood, leaking blood very bad. I lost 20 pints. So they thought something had ruptured, and they rushed me back into surgery. As they were bringing me out, I felt them letting my chest back open, horrible pain. And then I woke up when they had my heart in their hands the second time.
Okay, hold on. I want to just catch up and make sure that I'm understanding everything. So first of all, was this a bypass surgery?
Absolutely, triple.
Okay, triple bypass. They do the surgery. You're recovering. Something's going wrong. You have a ton of internal bleeding.
Right.
Right. 20 units of blood. So they open you back up. Did they just not put you all the way under this time?
You know, Aaron, I don't know what the problem was, but after my near-death experience, I was so grateful and humbled that I didn't tell them anything went wrong.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so you wake up.
I woke up as clearly as I'm looking at you right now. It was not a drug-induced haze. It was not looping. I was completely 100% consciously drained. And my eyes opened. They stopped in terror. I looked at each one of them, and they wouldn't go back to work. So I winked at one of them and closed my eyes so they would go back to work.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I woke up when they were enabling my chest back together. A lot of things I heard, I listened to. And that's how I know they logged me. And I heard all the bells and whistles going off and alarms. I heard people panic. I heard somebody say, we're losing him. And they slowly faded out. When they faded out, that's when this incredible, unbelievable, I can't even stress it enough, feeling of love enveloped me. And then it was just like a large set of hands with love. They gently picked me up, and I was flying through the universe. I remember looking in amazement at the stars and the planets as they were going by. And my last dying thought was, wow. But suddenly I had an overwhelming feeling of disappointment, and I had to go back. And then I heard the doctor tell the nurses the patient is stable, and then began the long journey back physically. I never was a really overly religious person, but I know without a doubt now something does happen when we die, and that feeling of love, I think you could take that old Bible, that if you just read the words in red, that one counts. Love. Love is so powerful, unbelievable.
I want to make sure that I'm completely clear here. So these were kind of two different things happened. One was you woke up during surgery, but that was still Steve in your body.
Right.
Then, after they finally put you under, it sounds like all the way, that's when you had this experience of leaving your body, traveling, feeling this love, right? Those are two separate things.
They never did put me all the way out. I'm not always here talking. It may fade in and out, but I never had a deep level of unconsciousness. Until when I noted everything went away, pure silence and love, that feeling of love was unbelievable.
Is there any way that you can describe it that we can understand?
You know how much you love your birth baby. You know how much you love your wife. You know how much you love magnified unbelievably times a million. The power. I felt like I was coming into the presence of a power that we can't even fathom. When Jesus says, we're like sand grains of sand on the beach. We're way littler than that, my friend. It was just, it's something you have to experience, and you'll get your chance right along with everybody else. But I do tell people this. I don't fear death as much as I did at all. I just hope I did what he wanted me to do, and I did it right.
Do you feel like you came back for a reason or a purpose?
Absolutely.
What is that?
My daughter had gotten involved with a DEA rebirth drug thing, and my first grandchild would have went into custody, and I was able to rescue him and raise him, and I feel that's what God sent me back for.
Have you had a chance to speak about this publicly?
First time. I used it for about 5 or 10 years. I couldn't talk about it at all. I was starting crying. Now I'm much stronger now, and I'm closer to the end. And I believe it's a message that I must share with everybody. And you're talking to a type guy that doesn't like to get involved in stuff below the radar. But I will stand up proudly and say this. There is a God, and you know how you get to him? Through love. And I know this to be a fact now.
Tell me a little bit more about what it looked like. You mentioned flying through stars and planets. Can you give us more description?
Just like one of these animated films, it didn't appear to be our galaxy, but it was like I was in the middle of it all. I moved my head left, and I moved my head right, and I was in just amazement of what was going on. I felt like I was going somewhere. I was definitely headed somewhere, and I felt like I was headed to judgment. I didn't feel no fear whatsoever. I felt comforted.
What else did you feel like you learned?
Life is short. Death is long. We're only here for a short time. Enjoy it to the fullest. Urge all your listeners to be kinder to one another. One day we will answer for all this. That's what I've learned. And I never did practice that. And I wish I would have now. You show me somebody that says they would never go back and change anything they did. And I'll show you a move.
You also mentioned feeling disappointed that you came back. Explain that some more.
Well, that feeling of love, safety, comfort, all those wonderful feelings, I felt like now I had to return to the flesh. And there's a lot of suffering in the flesh. And I knew I had to go back. We speak with words there. God speaks within the. You instantly know what he said. You instantly know what he wanted. And there will be no doubt in your mind. It is from him. I learned a lot of things. But that's the main one.
That's a lot to absorb. That's a lot to, I don't know, to process. And you came back and you had a lot of physical recovery to go through, I'm sure. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But there's emotional that goes along with it because of what you have now been through and experienced. Talk about the ups and downs, the joy of the love, and then the disappointment of coming back. How did you process all this?
I didn't really have a choice. It just happened. It was a long time. Like I said before, I didn't speak about it. It was so personal. I had just been through what I had heard bringing to me since I was a kid. And you never really know if it's true or not. God showed me it was true. I was very fortunate.
How has this changed your life?
I'm a lot more understanding. I'm a lot more patient. I'm a lot more forgiving, that's for sure. I'm trying to show my fellow human being more love. I try not to rush the judgment because everybody's going through something we don't know about. It made me a better person.
All right, go ahead and tell us about the physical recuperation. Were you in the hospital for a long time?
Even with complications, I ended up getting out 2 days early. Made a rapid recovery. Continued on with my business for a few more years. Dealt with high blood pressure for years. and prostate cancer in 2022, laryngeal cancer in 2023, and right now I have no signs of cancer. Fudge, the old Lauren Dillnard is about over with, and maybe that's why I'm a little overwhelmed to tell my story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I know it's really an effort for you to talk, and I appreciate what you're doing for us and with us today, and for trusting us to talk about it here first. I feel like there's more you want to share. Just go ahead. Tell us what else is on your mind.
If I could really talk, I could tell you nothing more. Like you said, it's difficult. I'm thankful that God gave me the chance to spread my story with people. Never give up. I might have got that from the Marine Corps, but never give up. I'm so grateful. I wake up every morning and give thanks. I used to complain about my problems for the day. I'm ready for another day with problems. It's a learning experience going through this life. There was another time I didn't share with you. I was 9 years old. This is where my belief in God came from. I lived way out in the country. 9 years old, I had a shotgun, a brand new shotgun, and I was going to grow on by myself. Out by an house, I wandered around, and I never saw a squirrel. So I looked up at the sky, through the door, and I said, if there really is a God, let me see some squirrels. I won't even shoot them, but just show me there's some squirrels. I knew you not immediately. Those big old bomb squirrels came down the tree right beside me. I'm gonna nudge them. Some old more dead squirrels. There was a double joy of squirrels were all around me, and I didn't shoot them. And I knew it then more. There was a God. Now, I didn't always obey, and for that I'm regretful. But I tell you what, Eric, I'm sure learned some lessons, though. He is real. I was glad I wrote that article, responding to that near-death experience article. And I don't know why I'm not denied to do that. But I felt it blind to share it. When I read a lot of the responses, I started crying again. Because I knew that I had brought people some hope and closure to things in their life. And I find them very rewarding.
That was a beautiful story. This show is all about hope. And before I let you go, I'd love to give you a chance to just give us a message of hope. You know, you talked about how you used to wake up complaining about the day, and hey, there's somebody out there having a really rough day today. What do you have to say to that person?
I'm going to tell that person, don't give up. God's watching. A lot of those troubles are drumheld to make us stronger. I would tell that person to believe, because when we die, something does happen, and we have to answer for all that. So I'm trying to rectify my record right now if I can. I suggest everybody else do the same. But I'm going to tell that person, no matter how bad he thinks he's got it or she's got it, there's somebody that's got it 1,000 times worse. My mother used to tell me something when I was young. I'm right because I had no shoes. And then I saw a man with no feet. And I gave that a lot of thought growing up. No matter how bad you think you got it, there's somebody more deserving than me that has it worse. So you have to remain grateful to God and take it as it comes. If you have doubt, pray. I don't think I really brag. I never went talking to him now.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you so very, very much for taking the time today.
I appreciate being here, and thank you for giving me a chance to hear that message.
And I want to thank you so very much for listening. Right now, while you're thinking of it, please hit that subscribe or follow button. And if you want to know when the new episodes go live, go over to roundtripdeath.com and sign up for our email newsletter. Until then, I wish you every good thing that you're looking for in this life and the next.